Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Good morning. Now, J24/7, if you've sloped off out the back into the hub because you think you can get away with it because your grown-ups are in charge and not me and Colin, can you come back, please? Because that's how we do it. And if you want to come sit at the front, you're very welcome, J24/7, because I find it slightly easier speaking to small people than tall people. Good morning.
Hello.
Pie in the sky. Do you remember? A long time ago. Pie in the sky, catchphrase. Some people think that knowing Jesus is like pie in the sky. That what's really the point of going to church and being a Christian, because it's all just about what happens when you die and it's not really very real, or don't understand the relevance of it. And I would like to tell you my story this morning about how I came to know Jesus. And I hope that from it, you will understand that it's not pie in the sky. Jesus is real, as real today as he's always been. Sounds like a Werther's advert. No, anyway, Jesus is as real as he's always been. And what he does in our lives is minutely, perfectly relevant to our lives and our adventure of life. Now, I gave my life to Jesus after a life of sin and debauchery at the age of 7 and a half. Now, the thing is, when you are seven, any seven, there should be some seven-year-olds in here. Any seven, slightly eight-year-olds in here in the house, you should be. Yeah. Hi, 7 and 8-year-olds. Hi. Hello. I know you by name, so you can't hide. The thing is, when you're 7 or 8, you understand sin because you understand what it is to be wrong. Because lots of grown-ups spend a lot of time telling you what is right and what is wrong. Don't pick your nose. Do your maths. Sit quietly. Cross your legs. Sit quietly in the assembly at school. Don't do that. Do this. Your turn to do the dishes, etc., etc. You understand. And as you get older, you get it far less often. You're in places where people tell you that you've done something wrong. So when you're quite little, you understand sin. And I understood all about sin because I used to steal a lot of biscuits from the biscuit tin. I used to be very good at getting my brothers into trouble and not doing my turn on the washing up, loading the dishwasher rotor and all that kind of thing. I knew about being wrong and I knew about being right. But let's just go back a little bit before that. My parents didn't go to church when I was that age, coming up to seven. And we lived next door but one to a lady who had multiple sclerosis, and she was in a wheelchair. And we used to go around when I was quite little, and I used to take flowers from the garden for her, my mum would send. And just they were our next door but one neighbours. And the people that lived in between were elderly, and so they weren't able to help out with this lady. So my parents used to help out. Now, they weren't Christians at this point at all. And one day, the lady's husband came around to my parents and asked if we could rig up a doorbell system, because she'd been given between 6 and 8 weeks to live because of the way that she'd actually allowed herself to be used for some, at that time, this is 1975, 45, 46 this year, in case you're doing the maths. She was, just saves you getting, concentrate on what I'm saying instead of doing maths. She had allowed herself to be have some forms of cancer treatment that were very experimental, and so therefore for that to happen she had been given cancer cells of other types of cancer, and she was at the point where she had very few weeks to live. And so the doorbell was rigged up. She had the bell, the buzzer, we had the bell in our house, so that if she had an accident or fell or urgently needed a husband, she'd ring the bell and someone in our house would be able to go around and help her. And one Sunday afternoon she rang the bell, so my mum went flying round to help her and came back about half an hour later. My dad had done his best to kind of warn me and my brother that this might be that the lady was going to die. And my mum came round quite perplexed, and she said she needs her husband and I'm just going to go and get him. And she got her husband was called John and brought him back, and I went out to play. And then about an hour and a half later, there's quite a commotion in the street, and I went out up to the kitchen, And this lady was walking down our driveway. And she'd been in a wheelchair the whole time that I'd known her. And what had happened is that she had gone to church. This is in Guildford, where I grew up. She'd gone to church on a Sunday morning, and she'd heard about the gospel, about who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for her. And she'd come home, and she'd sat in her front room, and she'd said, right, I've got 6 to 8 weeks. I've heard that if I give you my life, you are going to come and take control of my life. And I'm asking you, if there's anything you can do with these weeks left, I'm giving everything to you, it's all yours. And she was healed as she sat there. And she knew that that had happened. There wasn't anybody special in the room, it was just her and Jesus. Which is important to know. It was just her and Jesus. And she came around, she's telling my parents. My parents are like, whoa, what's going on here? Everything's a bit bonkers. This is crazy, this lady here. Within a couple of hours, she was on the back of her son's motorbike going around the where we lived. And she went to the hospital the next day. And once again, my parents, who were full of faith, prepared us for the fact that she might die because they thought it may be that this has just happened in the last few hours, because sometimes that, you can have these symptoms can change just before you die. But no. That's not what happened. She went to hospital. They did some blood tests and discovered that her blood group had changed. So what God had done was he had taken all the disease and all the sickness and that was within that blood, and he'd completely given her a different blood group. Now, those of you who are very clever and did your biology homework know that that is impossible. Doctors can't do that. And as a result, her doctor became a Christian because that was impossible. Now, this had quite an impact on my parents, whose marriage was on its last legs and was turned around overnight. We went out one evening to hear a guy called Vic Jacobson preaching on a green at Godston. And he was preaching the gospel, and I was on the swings because I did a lot of playing. Remember, I was only 7. So I came running back at the end. There's people singing, and it all got a bit boring, and someone talking loads. And I came back, and my mum was sat on a chair with a lady praying. I was like, that's a bit freaky. Okay, well, I'm going to talk to my dad. And I turned around, my dad was on another chair praying. And they gave their lives to the Lord at exactly the same time in a field. And our lives transformed because my parents' lives changed overnight. There'd been lots of things in their lives that had been wrong. And God dealt with many of those things within hours and days. And our family life was transformed. We became a family and we did things as a family. So there I am, 7.5, nearly 8, and I've seen some incredible things of God. I've seen that God heals, and it's true. I read it in the Bible at Sunday school, and I've seen it. I've heard that God keeps his promises and he loves people, and I've seen the change in the people around me who are now loving me in a different way, so I can understand that that's something God's done in their hearts, that they're able to love me. And I was in a loving, not that they didn't love me before, but there's something different when God takes off the stuff that stops you from being free, the things that you're carrying from your past, when they've gone, when you come to Jesus, something else happens and God's love comes into you. And when you're loved by somebody who knows God's love, it's a different thing than it was before. So our lives are completely transformed. So when it got to just before Christmas, we'd started to go to church. That was another new thing in my life. I went to church and I went to Sunday school, and I quite liked Sunday school because there was quite a lot of art and craft going on at Sunday school. And I like art and craft very much. In fact, my two earliest memories of Sunday school are a big table covered in cardboard and paper and glue and scissors and sequins and learning a Bible verse. And that's pretty much my life. Anyway... The Bible verse that I learned on my first day to Sunday school after my parents became Christians was John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Remember, it was 1975. There's newer, better versions than that now, but there wasn't then. I didn't know what abundantly was. I had to go and look it up in the dictionary. And then, incidentally, when the vicar came to our school, I went to a Baptist church, but the vicar came to school, and I asked him what abundance meant, and he didn't really give me a very good answer. And then a bit later on in the lesson, I was counting the buttons down the front of his black dress, because he had one of those long dresses and things, and I was counting them, and I kept getting lost. And he said in the end, in the middle of the lesson, he said, there's 42. And I'm like, OK, thank you. And then I said, he said, is there anything else you'd like to ask me? And I said, yes, are you born again? And he went very white, and I never did find out. So, I remember the reason I came to know Jesus in the end was because I wanted what my parents had. And there was such a transformation in their lives. I didn't really have a lot more knowledge than I've just told you, but I wanted what they had in my life. So one night I said to my mum, I don't know what's happened to you and Dad, but I want it to happen to me. And because my mum and Dad didn't know any better, they said, oh, well, this is what happened. We came to Jesus. We found out that Jesus died on the cross for us because of all the wrong things that we've done, and that he took the punishment of God on himself so we could be forgiven for all the things that we've done wrong. And when we said sorry to God and we said that we believed that this was true, that we wanted God to make that real in our lives, that the sin and all the wrong stuff would go and become Jesus's, and Jesus would give us a brand new clean life, that we asked Jesus to be our king, very importantly, that he becomes king and in charge, and no longer is it going to be Sally in charge, it's going to be Jesus in charge, then that's what it is to become a Christian. So me and my mum sat on the end of my bed, and that's what I did. I asked Jesus to come and forgive me for all the things I'd done wrong. Remember the biscuit tin, the washing up rotor, there was a lot going on in my life that I needed sorted out. And I had a brand new start. Now, I joke about that, but even at that age, we used to have coal fires in those days. Somebody's as old as me and remembers such things. We used to have coal fires, and the coal men used to deliver the coal once every few weeks into the coal bunker. I remember all the terminology. The coal bunker in the back garden. And they were big, big bags, big sacks of coal. And I remember what I used to remember, it was exciting. Simple lives. It's exciting watching the coal man come with a big bag of coal and put it down and all the rest of it. And I remember the feeling. My mum said to me, right, you've got to go and tell somebody now. You've given your life to Jesus. So I went down to tell my dad. And I went and told my dad. And my dad smiled and beamed. And I smiled and beamed. And it was really exciting. And I remember walking back up the stairs to my bedroom. And I remember feeling like I was one of those coal men, but had had the sack taken off. It had gone. And I was 7. But there are things that weigh you down, however old you are. There's things that weigh you down. And that had gone. It had completely gone. And I experienced the knowledge of God's presence with me at that point. And I knew that I knew him. And I also knew that he healed. And I also knew that he loved me. And I also knew that there was going to be somebody whose plan was to steal and to kill and destroy in my life, that he had come that I might have a life in all its fullness. And that was the plan. So I set up on an adventure. Now, I'm going to illustrate it a bit because I do actually work with children and I can't help myself. So this is an illustration of what happened at that point, that we got rid of the old, completely had to let go of the old, the things that were weighing me down, by saying sorry to God for those things, and I got rid of them. And then what happened was, it was like this. Oops! I did practice this earlier to make sure I fit. There we go. This is what happened, you see. I had come to a place where I had become I'd become one with God. God had come, become my, underneath he is my everlasting arms. Above me his banner says love. He has gone through life for me. He has a plan for me. I'd stepped into God being the king and being the Lord of my life, not me anymore. You know, I had plans for what I wanted. I had plans when I was 7, apart from playing and eating biscuits. But I was going to have plans in my life. And this is where it starts. You start to discover the story of how God wasn't pie in the sky. He was real. And he was going to work out an adventure in my life. So I'm off on my adventure with Jesus. I've said goodbye to my plans. And I'm going in God's direction, which is fairly easy when you're 7. It's a lot of issues when you're 7 are what you watch on telly, what you read, how you speak to your friends, honouring your parents. These are your big things in your life when you're at that age. You've got to get those things sorted. So if you're 7 and you're listening to me, when you've given your life to Jesus and you're going in the direction that Jesus has planned for you, there's certain things you have to get rid of that help you to keep listening to Jesus. And a lot of that stuff for you these days is what you see on TV, what you look at on computers and on your phones, the things that's going on at school. So when we say to you, almost weekly, check what you're watching, because once you've seen it, you can't wash it out of your face. You've seen it. Once you've heard it, it's going to affect you. So protect yourselves by getting into a place where you're going where Jesus wants, watching what Jesus wants, listening to what Jesus is saying, because it really, really helps. And when grown-ups say that to you, it's not because they did it perfectly, it's because they got it wrong and they got their fingers burnt and they don't want you to have to go through the same thing. So I'm on my journey with Jesus. So I go to school, become a teenager, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues when I was 11 because I read When the Spirit Comes, Pastor Colin wrote, and I read it in my bedroom and I prayed the prayer at my end on my own and I instantly spoke in tongues and I actually, God gave me some prophetic words at the time, but I was too little to really understand what was going on. Not because you're 11, you're too little to understand prophetic words, J24/7, you so are, but because there was no one there to help me to understand. And I so wish I knew what God had said at that point, but it was probably that one day you'll grow up and become a children's worker and preach to people in Horsham, something like that. Anyway, here we are. So I went to school, and I got to the point, we're jumping to the point where I started to do my A-levels. I always wanted to be a teacher. My plan, I wanted to be a teacher. And so I'm settling down to do my A-levels, and I'm thinking, right, Jesus, what A-levels should I do? I'm not particularly brilliantly bright, but I'll probably manage to scrape through if I work really hard. And God said, no, actually, I've got a plan for you that's over here. My plan is for you to teach, but it's not to go through the conventional means of becoming a teacher. My plan is for you to follow me, and I will make you a teacher. Right, okay, so I chose my A-levels according to what God had said, which was art, RE, and history. And one of my teachers said, what are you going to do, illustrate the Bible when you leave school? And you'd be surprised how many times I've done that in children's work over the years. God knew what he was doing. Colin, could you get my water? Because I'm stuck in this going with Jesus now and I can't get out because it ruins the illustration. And I was going... Thank you very much. Thank you. So, that's what happened. I did my A-levels, and I finished my A-levels, and I was praying about what to do, and I heard about this new Bible college that was opening in a place called Horsham. And I saw the leaflets about this. It was just about to start and open. And I thought, wow, that sounds awesome. And then I'd also been given some information about going to work with British Youth for Christ, because I knew that God's plan was not college, university, and SV, it was somewhere else. So I had these were the different things that God brought into my path. So I prayed about it, and I actually, on the night I got baptised, which I was 18, not baptised in water, and you go down the water and come back up, not like christened, which I'd had done before I became a Christian, which was my parents promising that they would bring me up in the best way they could to know God. This was when I was 18. I'd already decided to follow Jesus, so I obeyed what the Bible said, which was to go into water, actually in a swimming pool, I got baptised, and to be totally under the water and back up as a sign of the fact that my old life had gone, and it was like the Sally plans had died, and there was a new life, which was Jesus, which is this. That had happened. On that, the day that I had that, I had a big party afterwards. I was chatting with somebody and they said, oh, that's amazing that you're thinking about Youth for Christ. I've got the application forms in my car. I'm like, okay. Well, I think that may be you, Jesus. So I went to Youth for Christ for a year and worked in London. I worked in Brixton in just after the riots. It was interesting because I came from Guildford. Yes, it was an interesting time for me. And then I did that for a year. And at the end of that year, God spoke to me to come to Roffey. So I went to Bible College at Roffey. I was 19 and I was a student here. So if you're a student, I was 19 and I was a student, and that was God's plan for me. My husband was getting married to somebody else in another part of the country in the same year. So I just find that interesting thing to say to the students, you know, that when you get into this thing with God and you're going on an epic adventure, God has a personal, perfect, epic adventure for you, and it might not be what you think. So I was a good student at Roffey praying for a husband, and the man that God had chosen for me to be my husband was getting married to somebody else in another part of the country. But it all comes all right in the end. because I'm on an adventure with Jesus. I remember when I was at school, there was a poster on the wall, and it was of the wide path to God in life. You know, that the wide path, everybody's on the highway doing what you like. And there's a narrow, tiny path that looks quite hobbity and quite difficult, and there's trees that have fallen down over it, and you've got a bit of a journey. But at the end, there was a door with a cross shining behind it and the welcoming arms of God. And I always wanted, naturally, I always wanted an adventurous life. I didn't want the wide highway that was easy. And God sure has taken me on an adventurous life. So I was a student at Roffey. I left, and I've worked with children more or less from then onwards in a teaching capacity in churches and different camps and different things like that. And then I met Pete. Actually, I'm jumping now from when I was 19 and when I was a student to when I was 30 when I met Pete. It's quite a long time where I worked in different churches and different children's organisations, doing lots of art and craft, illustrating the Bible a lot. And God fulfilled the thing that he'd said to me when I was a teenager, when I was doing my A-levels, that he was going to use me as a teacher with children, but I needed to go his way. And over the years, I've seen the wisdom of God's plan, because I'm dyslexic. I would never have coped with all the work that's thrown at teachers in schools, all the stuff they have to do behind the scenes. I would never have been able to see and have the privilege of leading children to go through the same thing that I did, being born again, being filled with the Holy Spirit, understanding how to pray for healing, prophetic stuff. That would never have happened if I'd become a teacher. Because God's perfect adventure for me was off in another direction. So, I met Pete, who by this time was divorced, just mentioned that, because obviously that you need to know that, because we got married. God made it all right in the time. You heard his adventure a couple of weeks back. And after a year of being married, God called Pete to come to Roffey, to the Bible College. Now, I was very careful to check with Jesus that I didn't have to do it again, because I'd already done it. And he said, it's okay, you've done it, you don't have to do it again. So that was quite good. I was quite pleased about that. But it meant that I worked for a year, and Pete was a student, and we moved here to Horsham. And during that time, I had a miscarriage. We'd been married for 4 years, and I had a miscarriage. And they were very concerned, because they believed that the miscarriage that I'd had been an ectopic pregnancy, which is where the baby starts to form in the wrong place and can be quite life-threatening. But they couldn't really find out what had gone on. But anyway, I had a miscarriage. And at that time, there's a scripture. Another great scripture, foundation scripture, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And on the day that we found out that we had had a miscarriage for the first time, we just stood there together, and kind of like the world felt a bit like this might be about to crash, because that's what it felt like. Now, the thing is, in Christian life, you don't get a ticket that takes you away from the storms. That's not how it works. You've got somebody who takes you through the storm.
Yes.
And that might involve a bit of a crash landing now and again. But that's part of the adventure. Climbing over trees, going down tunnels, crash landing, but hanging on to the one who has a destiny for you and has a plan for your life. So my very wise husband said, you know, let's just look at that scripture. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. A few weeks ago, we were praising God because we found out that we were going to have a baby, and God was awesome that day to us. He was amazing. He was fabulous. He is everything that God is. Now, the thing is, God is the same today in our day of disaster as he was in the day of the victory. He didn't change. My circumstances changed. Where I was changed. But he didn't change. And that truth was a foundation at that point that God had put in our lives, that he still uses now. And I just want to pitch out a little bit about that before, but I just wanted to say that again, because we are talking about a God who knew you before he made the world. None of this is accident. Who you are and where you are today is not a surprise to him. If you feel like you're about to crash, he's not surprised by this. He's not inadequate in this. He's not made a mistake. Sometimes storms come and you feel that you're going to crash. But our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we started to worship him and honour him and speak about him like we had done on the days, on the easy, happy days, something amazing happened inside of us, and a peace came and a transformation came in our hearts. And we were able to laugh and rejoice in the fact that this thing had come, we'd lost this child, but We hadn't lost God. And God had a plan. And a healing came in our hearts of trusting and knowing that God had a plan and a destiny. And I'd got into this thing and I was going on an adventure with God. And we were going to the place of life in its full, not steal, kill and destroy. Because that's the plan. So, after that, before that happened, I must just say at this point that God had told me, one of the times that God's spoken to me, because God gives you clues. See, God doesn't give you a roadmap when you become a Christian. He doesn't work out, doesn't say, well, on the 13th of January, you will be eating toast for breakfast and then I will take you to... It's not like that. It's an adventure with clues, which makes it quite exciting. And one of the clues that God had given me was a word that I was going to have children. I was going to have two children. I was going to have a boy and a girl. And God had said that to me personally, himself to me, in my heart. Had hidden it in my heart. Hadn't really told very many people. Told Pete, warning him. hadn't told very many people. That was a thing that was in my heart and that was there. So a few months later, I suddenly had a very difficult time and a lot of pain, a lot of passing out. We were at Bible college at this time. Pete was a student. It was in the holiday break and I was at the college. We were staying there between moving, actually, from one place to another, weren't we? So we were at the Bible college. We went to the 8 o'clock prayer meeting, and I felt so ill. I mean, just incredibly ill. And I've got... I'm quite good with illness, but I was very ill, if you know what I mean. I keep going when I've got headaches and that kind of thing. But anyway, I really wasn't well. And I deteriorated gradually over the next few hours to the point I was passing out. And there was a girl who was a nurse who was a student, and she came and she said, you just got to get to casualty straight away. So I was put in the car, driven to casualty, passing out. And when I got there, they took me in and they weren't really too sure what was going on. And then eventually, by blood test, they discovered that I had an ectopic pregnancy this time and it had ruptured, which meant that I was internally bleeding. And by the point they'd worked that out, the blood pressure that I had was 30 over nothing. So I was going out at 30. The blood was going out of my heart at the rate of 30 beats per minute. Is that right? And coming in at... Well, wasn't coming in. It was it. And I was very close to dying. And it was like... it was like a bit like a carry-on film, if you watched such things when you were children. Obviously, you wouldn't watch them now. But, you know, when they have, like, they're running down hospital scenes and they've got gas and air machines and all the doctors are running and I had to do an X on the form for them to do an operation because I couldn't write. It was like that. And what had happened was an ectopic pregnancy had broken. I was bleeding internally and I had arrived at the hospital at 12:20. They had a surgeon that had come to the hospital. This is at Crawley. Specifically to do a specialist to do an operation on a woman who had an ectopic pregnancy that hadn't ruptured, and he was scrubbed up to do the operation at 1, and I'd got minutes to live, and they took me in first, and I had the operation, and my life was saved because God had put things in place without me knowing anything about it. I'd not prayed into that. I'd trusted him. I'd given him my life, and we were off on an adventure, and I lived. Which is amazing. And nothing to do with me. And then came back to church. After I'd recovered, I was able to come back to church. And a few Sundays back into church, somebody just put their hand on my back and just said, I just feel God saying something to you. And I don't know if it makes any sense, but I just want to pray about all the scar tissue because God says you're going to have a baby and I want to pray about all the scar tissue and all the situations. And she didn't know anything about what had gone on. And she prophesied over my life God's plan for me to have a baby that God had gone before. Even God had even chosen the right medical staff for what was to come. I was like, oh, we've just done this. You've got the right medical staff planned for what's to come. We've done all that now. We're moving. Anyway. God gave me this word, and very soon I found out I was pregnant with Grace, and I had an eventful pregnancy. I had to be on complete bed rest, which obviously I'm not very good at this thing, doing babies, and I ended up having an emergency cesarean. I'm sorry it's getting a bit screamish, boys, but I won't go too much into detail, it's alright girls, you understand. I ended up having an emergency operation, and again there were complications because of the previous operation I'd had, and they happened to be on the phone, and they actually, Pete was in there, whilst somebody talked the lady through an operation on me to save Grace's life over the phone, and he was at a dinner party, and he happened to be available on the phone, and he shouldn't have been. Again, incredible, dramatic circumstances that God orchestrated that we knew nothing about. We just turned up to have a baby. And God did something and Grace was born, which was awesome. And so we carried on with our life of adventure. And remember, God had promised me 2 children. And in 2005, I fell pregnant again. So that's very exciting. I'm expecting a baby again. And at 3 months, we went to go and have a scan that you have. And I went for the scan. And we sat in there, and they're doing all the pictures, and it's great. And we're kind of, great, this is amazing. And then the lady who's doing the scan's face went as white as a sheet. And she called somebody in. And then they called somebody else in. And they don't need to say anything at that point. You know that there's something not right. And they asked us, they took us into a special room. Beware the special room. You go and sit in the special room and you pray and you call out to God. And you say, you're the same yesterday, today and forever. And although this is looking like it's a day where we're going to crash again, we know that you are God and you stay God and nothing's changed with you. Your plans for my life haven't changed. Your purposes for my life haven't changed. And then a specialist came in and he said, your baby has anencephaly, which means that the skull hasn't formed properly. It's a form of spina bifida. And when your baby develops a bit further and her brain starts to develop, there's no place for it to safely develop. And even if she lasts the pregnancy, when she's born, she'll die because she won't be able to sustain life. So there we are in a moment before God in a room. People who don't understand the fact that we're slightly bonkers because we've got a God that's the same yesterday, today and forever, and we're standing on that. And we crashed. Our balloon crashed because it was a big storm. But the thing is that when there's storms, Jesus says we're going over to the other side. He told his disciples before the storm came, we are going to the other side. And we came to the other side. We had to... But there was a lot of pressure from the hospital to terminate the pregnancy because it's easier for them if that had happened. But I knew from God it wasn't easier for me. The adventure that I went on with God, and please don't feel condemned by what I say and what the decision and adventure I want if your circumstances have been similar and different. But I decided when I was 14 that I would never terminate a pregnancy, because I believe that life was from conception. And so I walked that journey, and I had to walk through that journey knowing that everybody around me, with a few exceptions of those here in the church who stood with me, everybody I saw, a professional, couldn't understand why I was basically putting myself through carrying a child that they believed was not going to live. But you see, I knew that God could heal, because remember the foundation of my coming to know Jesus is that God can heal. And I know that that's true. And I know that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing at all. And so we walked through the pregnancy, crying some days, feeling like we crashed. Other days, excited, knowing that all those things that are true about God. And when my baby was 8 months old, she died before she was born, which is very unusual with the type of problem that I had. But, you know, it was a great day, because it was a day where I knew that I'd done everything I could for her before God. Yeah. Cried out to God for her. I'd stood before God and trusted the word. I had had days, I don't think I was superhuman in this, please, the tissues that I went through, the hours of crying, the hours of saying, God, you know, I know that one day I'll stand up and testify about how amazing you are and how you carried us through this. And I'd much rather have my baby, but I'm on an adventure with you, Jesus, and I'm going to take the rough with the smooth. I'm going to take the things I don't want along with the things that I do want, because it's about going on an adventure with you. And the thing is, through this, we walked out of the hospital and we were at peace. We didn't walk out with the wound. We didn't walk out crushed. We didn't walk out overwhelmed. We didn't walk out with one tiny fragment of our trust and faith in a God who's the same yesterday, today and forever, even dented. Because he's true and he's the same.
That's right.
And my circumstances do not make who God is.
Right.
Who God is makes my circumstances. And there's times when, you know, God can do stuff that you didn't even know was still lurking. Difficult times. They bring out stuff you didn't know was still lurking that you need to get rid of. And God did a lot of that in us through that period of time, us trusting God. And there were days I was going to try and get in here and show you that it's okay to actually, on those days when you crash, to hide right down in God and let the storm go over the top, because he's okay with that, because he loves you, because Jesus walked as a man and he understands. There's nothing he doesn't understand that you've been through. And then, in March 2006, I found out that I was expecting the stripy one over there. God fulfilled his promise, and I had a son and a daughter. I have a son and a daughter. And my adventure isn't over yet. I haven't had any more children. Hasten to add, I've done my bit. So, I just tell you that story because it's not pie in the sky. It's not that you make a prayer in a church one day, or that you have Jesus as a crutch. Sometimes people say that, don't they? Or as a something that helps you get over things. It's real. It's true. And I am firmly convinced that no matter what you feel you're crashing under at the moment, if you've done this, if you've given your life to God, if you've stepped in here and handed over everything to him, then God has a way, God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has healing, God has peace. Peace that you won't understand, because I was peaceful in the circumstances, and that's one of the things that got the medical staff, I think, how peaceful that we were able to be in the circumstances. And you see, although it feels like you're going to crash, you've given your life to God. Everything that God has is yours. Nothing that's happening in your life is a surprise to God. And he has an answer for it. But the thing is, you've got to get in the basket. Because if you're just holding on to a bit of God and you say, oh yeah, I quite like coming to church, it's been nice, I've enjoyed coming to children's clubs, so I like coming, it's okay, it's quite good, I'm quite interested. I just kind of like touch on to some of these people that whose lives are very different. Like I saw my parents' lives are transformed and changed. These people are different. And I'd like to stay on to it. The trouble is, when a storm comes, you don't have the benefit. You're outside of the place. And that's what knowing Jesus is. It's letting go of everything that you've planned. You are what you've got for your life and giving everything unto him. And he deals with the sin and he deals with the pain and he deals with the things that have happened, and he knows what's to come, and he knows a way of taking you round some of the things that will feel like you've crashed, some of the crashes you'll have to go through. This is real life. It's not some kind of lovely flowery thing that takes you out of reality. It's real every day. You've still got to pay the mortgage. You've still got to put dinner on the table. You've still got to deal with death. You've still got to deal with pain. You've still got to deal with brokenheartedness. But there's a place to deal with it from, and that's having your life hidden in God, with him as your captain and your king. So this morning, We're gonna worship God again. Just come back into focusing on God's presence. But this morning, I want to ask you, if you have never got in the basket, if you've never given your life to God, if you've never said, yep, I'm going to stop being the Lord of my life, the King of my life, the captain and the boss of me, and I know that there's stuff in my life which is wrong that I want dealt with, chocks away, it's time to get rid of it, and come into a relationship with God, then this is the perfect opportunity. You could leave this place knowing that God is going to guide you and speak to you. Some of you this morning, God has reminded you of some stuff hidden away in there that maybe you've hung on to just simply because you are not sure that God is able to deal with that one. I've given him everything else, but I'm not sure about that one. And this morning, I just want to say to you, there is nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
Nothing. And he can deal with whatever there is. And maybe some of you professional Christians, you've been a Christian for a long time, and you've known God for years and years and years, like me. And you may have not realised, but you might have picked up some extra stuff to hang on the journey because you just lost your nerve a bit. Maybe you're just worried that God isn't going to be able to quite sort the big one that you keep crying out to him about. Well, all I can say, the safest place in a storm is to let go and to trust God. Because the journey that he takes you on will probably not be the one you can see. It will be the one he takes you on. And adventure is out there. Adventure with Jesus is out there, but you've got to let go. So stand up, stretch your legs, wiggle yourselves a bit. That's what we say to children, but grown-ups need that too. And let's see what God wants to do. Let's just come back into his presence and hear what he wants to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You need to just listen to what God is saying to you right now. Because my story is my story, but the thing is, you've got a choice. You can walk out of here and just think that's a nice story, or you can allow God to do what he wants to do in you, to encounter you now, and so that there can be a change in your life for this week ahead. And for some of you, that is to get in the basket for the first time, or maybe you got in the basket and you jumped out some point. It's time to come back and give everything back to God. So however old you are, whether this is the first time you've given your life to God, or whether you have done it before and you just feel that you need to just give everything back to him again because you let go at some point, then can you come to the front? And somebody will help you and pray with you to enable you to give everything over to God. This is too good an opportunity to miss. If you've never done this, you've never said, God, I want to give you everything. And I want to go on an adventure with you, whether you're 7 or 70. It's never too late to go off on an adventure with Jesus. And I want you to be brave, because adventurers are brave. And you need to come to the front. So if that's the first time, or if it's because you need to just sort some stuff out, because you know that you've given some stuff to God and you changed your mind and you just need to sort it out. So I'd like you to come to the front. Thank you, Jesus. But I'd also like you to come to the front if you know that there's something in your life at the moment that feels like you've crashed and you need someone to stand with you and just allow you, not to do it for you, because this is your adventure with Jesus, but to allow you to declare that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, over whatever has happened in your life, then come. Come do it now, because this is true. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Guys from the leadership in the front row team and people have come forward. Would you please just go and start to pray and talk with them straight away? Because we want some business done here with Jesus this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you J24/7 people, you need to come forward as well, because some of you have been challenged by what I've said this morning. And this isn't a grown-ups meeting, this is a family meeting. This is when we're all together. So whether you're old or young, if you need to come and sort some stuff out with Jesus, then you just come. Thank you, Jesus. There is always a way back and a way through the storm with God. The storms may come in quick succession, but you will not be overwhelmed, as God is faithful. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Dave, I'm going to leave you to just organise everybody here gets prayed with, if that's good. If you know that you are someone who prays here in the church, please just come and pray with anybody at the front here. That would be awesome. Now, God gave me a word last night that there is somebody here who has a blood disorder, which means that they've been told that they can't have a pregnancy because of something that's wrong with their blood. And if that's you, you can come and grab me at the very end if you want. You don't have to come up the front. You can come grab me at the end, because God wants to do something about that today. God wants to sort it out, because he's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the people that have these cards, the blue cards that Colin read out this morning, I'm guessing that you're here because you wrote a blue card. And wherever you are, I remember the day when I stood on this carpet at the front here to do business with God about the fact that I had had a promise for him that I was going to have two children and I still didn't have them. And everything was looking like I was never going to have them, because I had quite a lot of miscarriages in between that I didn't bore you with. And I remember standing in this house, in this place, crying out to God for him to be the answer. And if you have a blue card there, now is your time, because God has told us this morning through his word that he overcomes, that he heals, that he sets free, and that his plan is to bring life in all its fullness, and that you will not be stolen from, you will not be destroyed, and you will not be killed. And you can claim that promise of God where you are now over your blue card, the situation that you've brought before God this morning. You claim it too, you own it too, before God, because our God is faithful yesterday, today, and forever. Stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he knew about today before he made the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay in this place before God, God's presence. Just honouring God and putting God first at this point. The band is playing to help you to concentrate on Jesus and just to listen to what he wants to say and do in your life. There's somebody who suffers from a lot of really bad migraine headaches, and there's no relief from those headaches. Is there somebody here that's happening to? If that's you, then you come out to the front if you're suffering from migraines. So much. He's so practical, so real, so true. And that he doesn't set a standard that we have to try and achieve and try and live up to, that we're on our own trying to make happen. And somebody needs to know that this morning, that God has arms of love for you, and you think you're never ever going to be good enough. But God's arms of love for you were there. Actually, they were there already waiting for you before you were born and you ever did anything, good or bad. His arms were there for you. Somebody, you need to just put that lie down this morning, that you are not good enough for God. Because you couldn't be. And it's okay, because he loves you. And he's just really wanting to put his arms around you and show you how much he loves you and he cares for you, because he's a practical, real God who wants to come into your situation and stand with you and see the storm go away and the sun come out in your life. But for you today, it starts with you accepting and understanding that you are not good enough for God. It doesn't matter, because Jesus was good enough. Thank you, Jesus. The risk of not being very normal what happens in a Christian meeting, is there anybody else who wants to come down here and get something from God sorted before we finish? I know we're meant to do it kind of nice and lovely, but we're used to working with children and they have a very short attention span, and actually grown-ups are just the same. It's just you're better at showing me, your face tells me that you're really concentrating and you're in the zone, but you're probably thinking about dinner. So if you want something from God, if there's a storm and you want someone to stand with you and agree with you, the truth in this situation, just come down here now and we'll pray for you. All we're going to do is help you to take that truth and make it real in your life, because we won't be coming home with you to sort it all out. God will. If you come right up to the front, if you've just come to get prayed for, so we can see you, because there's a few people and we need to know who's who. Awesome. Dither, if you want to come get prayed for, come now, because you're nearly done. Awesome God. Right. In a minute, we are going to just finish the service, and the hub will be open. Play area will be open for small people, and it will just be the end of the service and you can go home. But if you would like somebody to pray with you about anything, particularly anything that I've touched on this morning in the area of losing a child or not being able to conceive, really, really love to pray for you. What I'd ask is, what we do is that we finish the meeting in a couple of minutes and people can just go home, go chat with friends, go get coffee, and that we would just stay quiet at the front, and anybody who wants to come up the front, we're just very happy to pray with. And any of the other ladies in the congregation who've experienced this in the past and have a testimony and the ability to pray in this, if you want to come too, you're really, really welcome, because there's nothing special about me. And we'll just pray with anybody who would like us to pray about that together, and just see God's love poured into those situations. So parents, I'd ask if you could help us by keeping your little ones not at the front after the service. In fact, every week that would be great, because the presence of God is in the house and God is doing things, and a game of football at the front isn't going to help us keep our focus on Jesus. So if you can usher your kids to the play area, that'd be great at the end, and then we'll just spend that time in God's presence. This is a different way of ending a service, isn't it? But that's the way Jesus does things. Never the same twice. So thank you for coming. You're all very lovely. You can go and get a cup of tea. And just go when you wish.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.